good to see this wonderful number that's here today. I'm always amazed at how that God moves and how God uses different things in order to give Him glory. Brother Kenneth said that he wants to convey his appreciation to the church for their gift, but most importantly of all, for your attendance here during that revival. And it's his prayer, he said, that God will use what he has said to build you up, to strengthen you, to give you the grace that you need day by day. And also, he wants to know if there was anybody, in order to keep him in Missouri, might have siphoned some of his gasoline. So he said, just ask that in church, because undoubtedly someone will fess up in church. Anyway, to kind of give you, as Paul Harvey said, the entire story, they got down to Poplar Bluff, and he's always had some issues with that area for some reasons, where he got his first ticket and contributed to the treasury of the state of Missouri. And he said, well, this time, he said, I ran out of gas. And he said, I just wonder if people were trying to keep me here or something. And I said, well, no, I don't think so. But, you know, it was hard getting that gas in that can. No, we have a good time with him, and he's been a great friend over the years. We met him years and years and years ago when he held a revival here in Missouri. And from that time on, our paths have just kind of crossed each other and run parallel to each other. And he's always stayed a great and wonderful friend to me. And his prayers are with you today, praying for you that God will bless and keep you, prosper you, but that you'll grow in grace, as the Apostle Paul said, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you would turn with us to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to begin with the first verse. And as everyone turns to this chapter, to this particular book, Jesus had a way of picking and choosing disciples probably that nobody else would. And if you know the background to Matthew, or to Levi, if you will, he was a tax collector, an IRS agent, but he did it for the Romans. And this was something that would oftentimes kind of set people against Jesus. Why do you eat with publicans and sinners and associate with them? And as we hope to kind of quote a little bit later on, if God leads, he said, it's not the healthy that need a physician, it's the sick. And he said, I've come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He gave his life as a ransom for you and for me. And that word ransom is closely associated with redemption. And he paid for it upon the cross of Calvary. So as we begin with the first verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, and we'll begin where that he takes Peter, James, and John up into Mount Tabor with him. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared with him Moses and Elias, or if you will, Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, out of those three, which one would you expect to say something about it? You got it. You got it. He couldn't help himself. He said, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or for Elijah. And while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now note what else that God said. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, no man, save Jesus only. In other words, whenever that they looked again, they didn't see Moses. They didn't see Elijah. But who did they see? They saw Jesus, in him only. And Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, when then, say the scribes, that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elias has come already. And they knew him not, but they've done unto him whatsoever they listeth. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. We wanted to go ahead and complete that meeting that they had there by these last few verses. But our thought and our subject will come from actually different portions of the scripture in this chapter. What God said, in hear ye him. And then when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. And our thought will come from those verses of Scripture, staying focused upon Jesus. Staying focused upon Jesus. We remember hearing the preaching about the Son of God. That's the most important thing that can be preached in the church today, is Christ, as Paul said, and him crucified. Christ, the remedy for sin. Christ, the only way into heaven alone. Only him. No other. He's not an option. He's not a smorgasbord choice. But he said in one place, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto God the Father save through me. We find when we dismiss that revival, I want you to understand that revival has not ended. And it's not to end. It's to go on with us. And we can remember things perhaps that the brother said or what was preached from this pulpit. And it's done so, I believe, in this revival to give us a renewal in him. We need a renewal from time to time. We need a refreshing from him. We need to know that he is still on the saving throne. He is today. Everybody that is saved has come to that throne of grace, where he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And we find that the Bible tells us in one place, it says, though our outward man should perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And that's part of what we want to speak about today. We're changed into the same image as Christ. Now, I'm not saying we'll ever get to a point where we're holier than Christ, but we are changed into that same image. In other words, we're sanctified, we're set apart. And then this happens from glory to glory. Just like this week, this revival was a glorious time. And you went away from it. You weren't tired. I don't know if anybody was like me, but when I got home, I was up till 1 or 2 in the morning just feasting upon what I heard and the fellowship and the movement of the Holy Spirit, along with the things that are said that we try to remember. But we become focused upon Christ Jesus out of this revival. And we become refocused as to what our purpose and what our mission is as we go on about our day-to-day task. Do you know that we have a purpose today? Everything has a purpose, has a reason for being. My goodness, you can go out there and the rock out in the driveway has a purpose. If it wasn't for that particular rock, there might be not be other rocks, and we'd be sitting there spinning our truck tires and car tires. You know, this beam that you see above it, it has a purpose. It houses where that it is at. Do you know that God, even from past eternity, designed all of this? Sometimes it's overwhelming to think that God has done all of this, but He has a purpose for us today. He knew not only that you would need a Savior, and my friend, I want to tell you, in this dire and dark time that we live in, man is in more need of a Savior, a deliverer, a counselor than ever before. And brother, that's where that our purpose comes in. You know, there's a banner that I would love to see that says, "Ye are witnesses." So whenever that you leave, you realize today that you are witnesses for such a time as this, just like Esther, just like the others that are like. But we have a purpose today, and I believe we've got a race to run. This revival should revive us to the extent that we draw strength from it, that we renew our purpose, we renew our covenant with one another, that we renew our covenant with God, that, Lord, we're going to try to work for you by your grace and by your help even more than ever. It builds. Revivals kind of build on one another. And you know that even in the past, back in the 1700s, the great revivals that they had back there are probably the reason why that we are here. God sent them then. And from those revivals, it just built and built and built until this present moment of time. And now the baton has been passed unto us, perhaps to finish the race. We're in a race also. Not only are we refocusing, but we're in a race. We are in a purposeful race today. And the race is not unto the swift. I used to watch my youngest son run, and it always amazed me how fast that they could run. And I used to want to go back to that days when we did the same thing, but I know who'd come in last. But I find today that we are in a long-distance race. And the race is not about who's fast or who's ahead, but the race is about patience with God and running the race as God would have us to run. Scripture tells us in one place we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Seeing wherefore that ye are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Who are those witnesses? Sitting up in the stands are those like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 Old Testament tribes, and also the 12 apostles, John, Peter, Matthew, all such preachers that have preached this gospel, and now they're watching us. Did you know you're being watched? What did the government or somebody put in a camera? No, I'm not talking about that kind of watch. I'm talking about they're looking on to us. And they pass the baton on to you and me. Have you ever watched a relay race? I love watching relay races. Do you know where the key to a good relay race is? Is whenever that the next runner takes the baton He starts out running in the strength of that race. And then the one that's finished his course hands that baton up to him. And he goes and he runs. And he completes the race today. The baton has been handed off to you and I today. The baton has been handed off to you. Well, what about this church? What about that church? What about what's going on? No, no. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Now, whenever that I ran, I had a wonderful coach. But, you know, I'd get out ahead of everybody and I'd start, there's nobody beside me. And then I'd turn around and I'd look and see if anybody was close to me. And he'd take me aside and he'd say, Kofer, for the love of Pete, he didn't cuss, but he said, for the love of Pete, will you quit looking behind you? Will you quit looking for them? Will you keep looking ahead? Because you're going to lose time. Because you're going to slow down. And they are going to catch up with you. And you know, teenagers, I don't mean anything bad by this, Jim. But I'm just speaking of myself as a teenager. Whenever that I would get advice from people, do you know where it went? But I found out he was right. And I found out that it's true. And it's true in this race that we're running today. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our eyes upon the prize. There was a great leader one time who said to his followers, he said, keep your eyes upon the prize. What's the prize today? The prize, my friend, is Christ Jesus at the end of the goal, at the end of the race. Do you want to please him today? There used to be a song that said, shall I come in empty-handed before the Lord at the end of it? What would that be like? To come into him and every grace, every mercy, everything under the sun could have done for him, forgot about it, put other things ahead of him, did not stay focused upon Jesus, did not stay focused upon the purpose that I'd been saved and called to do, but I did this and I did that, and it's not wrong to have these things, but whenever that they get between you and between Jesus, there's where we falter, and there's where we go by the wayside. This gospel is the most important thing in the world. Did you know that? Because Paul said in one place, he said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. One day this age will come to an end. One day it's going to be wrapped up. It's going to be closed. It's going to be come down to the finality of it. And what's going to matter is the soul being saved and ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment which is to come. Because you see, the only way into heaven, I know there's many that say, do this, do that, to get into heaven, lead a good life, do all these sort of things. But my friend, the Bible says, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we find that he gives us that example of a race. Even the Apostle Paul, over one place in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Timothy. Do you know when Paul gets his rewards, there's not going to be on my part this sort of attitude towards it. Well, you know, I did what I did, and you know, God's playing favorites, and you know, yeah, he was a great minister and he went all over, but you know, I did something, Lord. You know, I came to church and I did all this and all that. But you know, my friend, I want to tell you something. When we get to heaven and we see Paul with his rewards, and we see that the glory that he gives unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll say to ourselves, boy, he is deserving of it, because look at the trail that he paid. Look at the places where that he went. Look at the people that he preached to, that he stood for, and he was willing even to lay down his life, the finality of it, for the cause of Christ. Paul said in one place, whenever that he was about to be offered, he said, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only unto me, but unto all that love his appearing today. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep focused on Christ. Keep focused on the gospel. He said, you are witnesses unto me for such a time as this. And you might say, what can Elkton Church do? You know, we're just small in number. And you know, whenever you think that, do you know where that's coming from? That's not coming from the Lord. That's coming from Satan. Do you know what a small boy that just happened to be carrying a basket full of fish and bread did? Andrew found him, brought him unto the Lord. There were thousands to be fed. And you know, probably the disciples, and I'm surprised that Peter didn't speak up and say something. But they came and they brought him unto Jesus. And do you know what Jesus said whenever that they presented that bread and those fish? It is enough. And he took it and he broke it and he prayed over it. And do you know they had 12 baskets full left over of that? Now, don't ask me the science behind it. I just know whenever that you put yourself and make yourself available unto the Lord, Jesus can do great and mighty things with you. And my friend, Elkton Church, visitors that are with us today, keep focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ways that we do that is that we get down into His Word. He said in one place, He said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. It helps us to get closer unto God. It helps us to know Him. Do you know that this is the mind of God? Now, I'm not talking about we worship the ink and the pages, and my friend, that we revel in the maps and all that. But I'm saying that the contents of this has the mind of God, has the will of God, has the love of God in it. He tells us of the great purpose that He has to redeem men from sin and bring them into a right relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this word does. Paul told Timothy in one place, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. He said, take that word, use that word, memorize that word. And you might say, I don't have a good memory. Well, you know what I do? I carry it. Little Testament with me. You can ask my wife. Makes an imprint on the seat of the car. But I carry it with me in case that I can't remember the scriptures or can't remember something. But today, my friend, get in to the Word of God. It'll tell us why that these things are happening to us that we see around us about the end time, about all of the things that are going to take place. He tells us what the future is. And I want to tell you something. Even though that these days get dark, my friend, this will shed light upon the pathway. It'll shed light within our hearts. It'll keep us focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about all that He has done to redeem us from sin. Stay in it. Remember what the preacher preached up here through the revival. Go and find those scriptures. Meditate upon them. You know, in the book of Psalms, or the book of the Psalms, it says always at the end of a chapter, sometimes it says Selah. Do you know what Selah means? Meditate upon what you just read. Meditate on it. Think on it. And you might not understand it at the time. But my friend, in due time, God does reveal His Word and the contents of it. We're also, my friend, not only to read the Word of God, but also, it says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. My friend, don't let Netflix get you. Don't let CNN, if you watch CNN, don't let that get you down, what they say. Just remember, the only truth in this world is this truth right here. Everything else is untruth. It is. It's untruth today. But pray without ceasing. Don't give up on praying. If you've been praying for a neighbor to be saved, my friend, just keep praying for them. In due season, we will reap if we faint not. Pray about your loved ones. Pray about the meal. Pray about if your tire goes down. Lord, help me to figure out how to inflate this tire. You might say, oh, preacher, that's silly. No, he made the tire. He made the contents to it. And I'm not saying sit there in the car until that it, you know, God comes along with a compressor pump and increases the contents of it and you go on your way. I had a friend of mine say, and we had marveled over this scripture, where that Jesus said in one place, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mount, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And you know, we just kind of wrangle with it and, you know, everything. And he wasn't saying anything. And he said, you know what I get out of that scripture? He said that if we put our faith in God, in Christ, he said he might direct our sight over to a shovel over here. And he said, yes, I'm going to help you with it, but you put your backbone into it and you can remove this mountain. And it takes endurance. Endurance. It takes patience in the labor that God has called us unto. We're to fellowship with one another. God didn't call us to be lone rangers. He called us into the fellowship of Christ. It says over in one place, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because Satan's activities are going to increase. They're going to increase. They're going to increase. And it's going to trouble your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to trouble you. And you know, whenever that we come together and we think on these things, we're not going to solve the world's problems, but we can comfort one another. Just like that scripture at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12. Whenever that we think about Christ is coming back someday, he said to comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming back someday. And he's going to do several things. He's going to put down all rule. Everybody will bow and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Kings, emperors, presidents, no matter who it is, they are going to give God the glory. And not only that, but he's going to put down all evil. He comes back. He's going to straighten out everybody's theology. Yeah, he sure will. But that theology will now be centered upon him, upon his glory. And that's why we keep focused upon him. Because one day we're going to see the King in all of his glory. We'll get a little bit of a taste of what Peter, James, and John saw whenever that they were on that mount. And they saw Elijah. They saw Moses. And one day we will see Christ Jesus. But don't get enraptured with the fact that you're going to sit down at a meal with Abraham and forget, my friend, how you got there. Our praise and our glory is going to be unto Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who died upon Calvary's cross, tasted of death for each and every individual. And then, my friend, he conquered death, hell, and the grave and came forth the third day. You can be assured of some things that are very sure today. Christ is not in that tomb. And my friend, you're not going to find his DNA. And you're not going to find any trace of him. You're not going to, if somebody comes up with, well, we found the bones of Jesus Christ, Don't believe it. They don't have it. You know where he's at? And do you know where he's going to come from? And do you know who he's coming for? You. You. Stay focused upon him today. You can expect opposition whenever that you go to serve God. Oh, he will. He opposed Jesus. Why wouldn't he oppose you and I? But he's given us tools by which that we can stand in the evil day. First of all, he says, resist the devil. Don't listen to him. My friend, he starts telling you that you're nothing. He'll even get people to doubting about their salvation. If the salvation is in Christ Jesus, my friend, it's sure and it's steadfast and it'll stand forever. But he'll get you to doubting your own salvation. He'll get you to doubting other people. He'll get you to imagining all kinds of bad things about everybody today. He certainly will. Why? Because he's not a creator. Satan is a divider. And he would love nothing more than to divide God's people against one another. But resist him. Flee from him. Don't listen to him today. He also says to put on the whole armor of God. Paul used to no doubt see soldiers whenever that they were about to emerge from their bivouac, and they would put on their armor for the battle. You know, I want to recommend to you today, before you get out of bed each morning, pray, but then put on the whole armor of God. Before you get out of bed, and even Monday morning, tomorrow, I guarantee you that Satan's going to come. I used to tell my wife after good revival services, so on and so forth, I said, boy, we just might as well put our boxing gloves on Monday because here he comes. But my friend, God has given us access unto armor. First of all, gird your loins about with the truth. Jesus said in one place to his Father, he said, sanctify him through thy truth. Thy word is truth today. He also said to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Go wherever these little feet will lead you and pray today that God will use you, maybe to influence someone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The breastplate of righteousness. Do you know that your righteousness is not your own? You don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness that you have as a child of God is the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed unto you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what your breastplate is. That protects the vital organs, the helmet of salvation. You know, if a soldier goes out without a helmet on, it's not going to take long until he's going to be struck to the side of the head, and then it's all over. But you put on the helmet of salvation today, my friend, I want to tell you that's protection. It protects you from the onslaught of the enemy and what he is doing. Then the last two, and I wouldn't say that these are necessarily the most important part, but I would say this today, you better have them with you just as much as the other armor. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have access unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God has given unto us, if we had faith in Him to save us, we have faith in Him to follow Him today. But that faith will help to shield you from the fiery darts of the wicked. And then the sword of the Spirit, which we already talked about, but we'll talk about it again. Take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Keep it in your heart. Memorize it. Keep it there. Whenever that you're downcast, remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even unto the end. And then we find today, stay anchored. Stay anchored in Him. Make Him your best friend. Make Him the one today that you go to for every problem, everything that besets you today. And I want to tell you, that revival that we just came through will have done exactly what it was meant to do. It's to strengthen. It's to uphold us. It's to renew us. It's to help us to stand strong to help somebody else. It's to help us today to be able to witness unto others as to this hope. Be ready to give an account unto all men of the hope that lies within you with all meekness and fear. Not that you're afraid of them, but in awe of God. And whenever that it comes from one who has passed from death unto life, some point they're going to want to know, what is this that you have that I don't have? But how can I get to it? You know what they always have little sayings about the gospel and so on and so forth. But I kind of like this one. The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where you can find bread, where you can fill that empty hole. And I just thought of this just now. It'll turn this empty hole. I don't know if I made a heart or not, but into a heart of love. Into a heart of love. The Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, whereby that we love one another and we love the world, and we love the world the way that Jesus loved the world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So stay focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay close to Him. Pray. Pray. Study the Word. And then I want one more. Sing praises to Him. Well, I can't carry a tune. Well, He's not listening to see if you can hit the high notes or the low notes. He's not listening for that. But He's listening for the contents of a praise that comes from within your heart. That's what He's looking for. And do you know He inhabits those praises? He inhabits those praises. So, God being our helper, that's our simple message today. And we pray that God will keep you close to Him. Close to Him. Keep focused upon Him. Look to Him at the goal line as being your reward.